It's 8:16 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour here on KPCW. The Snyderville Basin Planning Commission meeting in regular session tomorrow at the Sheldon Richens Building starting at 6 o'clock. On the phone with me to take a look at the agenda I have from the Summit County Planning Office, Ray Milliner. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Leslie.
So just two items on the agenda, but first an introduction of Caroline Farish. She's the new Regional Transportation Director for Summit County. She's been on the job, I think, all of a week or so. Has she asked at this point any information from the planning department, or you're helping her work in tandem?
Yeah, we're still getting to know each other so far. She's been really fantastic. She has been working with us on a few projects, looking at internal circulation and as well as, you know, things that we can do to make the projects better as far as ingress, egress, and also, you know, making sure that, like, the regional, you know, everything's taken care of. So far, she's been really great.
Yeah, so I'm guessing maybe one of those projects she's looking at is the Whole Foods relocation?
Uh-huh. Yep, she's been looking. She asked about, she's kind of come in, you know, it's late on this one because we've been working on it for a while, but she wants to make sure that the new regional transit center has good access to Whole Foods so that, you know, the trails and that people with ADA or disabilities are able to get in and out of the site and onto the buses and things like that we've been looking at.
Yeah. So there has been some talk about perhaps doing maybe a roundabout outside of Whole Foods there. Whose deal would that be? I mean, if that's something that the county puts on as a condition of approval, it's up to the developer to build it, or is that something that the county takes on its own?
It would be negotiated. Right now, the county engineer's office and the applicant, their consultant, they're looking at it. We've overlaid a roundabout onto the site just kind of to look at, and it looks to me like the roundabout would not be a favorable option just because there's not enough room. We would have to take up part of the parking lot of the hotel across the street as well as the parking lot of the Whole Foods, and also the slope of the road right there is not really great for a roundabout, and so we're looking at it. The engineering office is going to make a recommendation on that, but we don't have a 100% recommendation yet, but we're certainly looking at it.
Okay. Again, as I mentioned, just two items on the agenda. First up is the F6 parcel. This is located off of Cooper Lane between Sunpeak and Canyons. 25 mm-hmm. units of multifamily housing. Is this ready for a recommendation?
Yeah, there's a recommendation for approval. We looked at it as a work session about a month ago, and the issue was a secondary access to the site. The applicant's proposing, has redlined onto it, a secondary access. And so we're recommending approval. Like I said, it's 25 units, approximately 50,000 square feet of residential.
Okay. Are they broken up into different units, or is it?
It's mostly triplexes and duplexes, so two units and three units.
Okay. Market rate, or?
Yeah.
They didn't have to build any affordable housing?
No. As part of the Canyon Spa, the affordable housing is a separate entity, and that will kick in, I believe, at 25% of build-out, which is getting really close. And so that will cover the affordable housing for the Canyons, and the developer will take care of that. So we'll be negotiating, working on that soon.
Yeah. Given that they're so close to that 25% build-out, have you seen any plans from Vail Resorts for what they plan to do for affordable housing?
We haven't seen any applications or plans. I know that they're aware of it and they're working on it, and so we're anticipating some really great things.
All right. Then into work session, a discussion of a proposed amendment to the Snyderville Basin Development Code. This has to do with the preservation of historical significant structures. This issue we saw two, 3 months ago. It prompted Community Development Director Pat Putt to call for a temporary zoning ordinance. So where do things stand here?
Well, the Community Development Director requested the temporary zoning, basically a moratorium on these projects, and what the code use allows is any historic structure, or basically a structure that's older than 50 years, can have a use above and beyond what's allowed in the code. And that use could go in the home or on the property associated with it, is the way the code reads. And so it was a well-intended benefit or for historic homes, but what happened is it opened the door up for abuse of the code. Like if a person said, well, I want, 100,000 square foot box retail store right next to my, on my property next to my historic home, I can do that as a low impact permit. And so what we did was we asked the council to put a moratorium on that so that we could redo the language and make it a little more sensitive to the neighborhood as well as for the historic home.
So this was brought up at the same time, I think, you had the Bittner proposal for the historic Bittner family land north of Interstate 80. Is that because it was already in the process? Is it going to be fall under the new language, or is it already?
Well, the application for the Bittner property came in before this moratorium, and so it's allowed to continue under the old language. So that doesn't have this ordinance does not affect their application.
So where have you gone then from the last couple of months? I mean, what would the new language look like?
What the new language would look like is it would allow for an adaptive reuse in a historic structure, but there has to be two things that happen. For the first thing is that the structure has to be determined to be historically significant, which means that it's greater than 50 years old, something significant in the happened in the past, or it has unique and fabulous architecture, or it's important to the county's past for some other reason, like in an archaeological reason or something. And these are the standards that the Secretary of the Interior uses for nationally for historic structures. And then the Planning Commission would make that determination, primarily because we don't have a historic preservation board or historic district council or something. And then we would have about seven criteria that the Planning Commission would review to make sure that the historic structure was being preserved. And so if they met those criteria, then they could have a use that was above and beyond what was allowed in the code.
Last fall, we saw Bill White Enterprises. He restored there a residence and two farm outbuildings. The project, though, also included an office use and a cooking school. So would that have been allowed under this new language?
It would have been allowed, but the review would have been much more strict. Well, no, actually, it would not. Excuse me. One of the criteria is that the use must be contained within the historic structure. And so Mr. White, that applicant, he proposed two outbuildings that were approved, or two buildings separate from the historic building. And so those two buildings wouldn't have been approved.
Okay. And are there other projects that you're concerned about coming up through the pipeline? Or
No. We haven't heard of any other projects, but I think that we felt that it's important to get this get this loophole tied up so that we didn't have any question as to what would be allowed or what would not be allowed, and so that people would better understand what they could do with their property.
All right. So it sounds like, I mean, this is going for a work session before the Planning Commission. It sounds like you have a good handle on it. So something should be, I'm guessing, approved well before the 6 months expires.
Hope so.
Okay. Anything else going on?
That's pretty much it for us today.
Okay. Hey, Ray, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie. Have a good day.
Ray Milner is staff planner with Summit County. 8:27 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Joining me in the studio, Craig Sanchez. He's Park City's Community Engagement Liaison. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So lots going on here. Let's see. We've got, of course, the Deer Valley Drive sidewalk.
Yes.
Curb and gutter going on.
Yes. Actually, I drove up there this morning. It looks like they're getting ready to pour the curb and gutter starting this morning, so that'll start taking shape here this week.
Yeah, so was the sidewalk being redone because it needed it, or was it just because the whole street had been redone? And
a combination of both. You know, it needed it, it was old, you know, it wasn't real safe pedestrian-wise, and there were some missing pieces in there, so that'll be a straight shot all the way from the roundabout up to Deer Valley.
Yeah, is it any wider than it was?
I think it is a little bit wider. Mm-hmm. It's looking like it, but unsure on that.
Okay. So does this finally wrap up all of that Deer Valley Drive construction that's been going on for the last couple of years?
I think this is the last phase of that. They should have that wrapped up this year.
Okay. And then what's going on at McHenry?
McHenry, they've been redoing that whole undergrounding utilities and doing some different things up there. And it's a very tricky project in that it's a small road, but it's very narrow. There's a lot of utilities in there. And so they're, I believe, pouring curb also this week and next week, and that should start wrapping up here in the next few weeks.
Okay. Well, just in the nick of time, so you did that between July 4th and this weekend with Arts Festival, got Sweet Alley then done?
It is. Sweet Alley's done. We have one more piece of the crosswalk, the north-south on the east side of Sweet Alley that we'll do in the fall. That'll be the last thing we do. But everything else in Sweet Alley is complete, the three pieces of the crosswalk.
Okay. And then on Main Street, you've got some work finishing up there as well?
Correct. We should be finished, or we will be. It looks like the weather will hold out. We've got three more squares to put the granite pavers down. We'll get that finished today. And then that crew, Jeff Gordon with Miller Paving, that crew actually takes off for 2 weeks. Give everybody a break on Main Street during this busy time of the summer. So they'll be back starting where they left off, right by Dugan's there, heading south after the tour of Utah on August 10th.
All right. And then construction work also on the Judge Pipeline. Is this going to be finished this year?
It will be. They're actually working on 9th Street this week. They should get it pretty wrapped up this week and next week. And that'll be the last piece that really impacts the neighborhoods. You know, Norfolk and Empire, Lowell have been going through the last couple of years with that. Then the last piece goes from Woodside Tank over to the Daily Pump, which is, I believe, kind of in the Alice Load area, east of where, or south of where they're working now, over by the South Sweeney.
Okay, and so what we're going to do is basically pump the water or feed it down to Spiro for now?
Correct. And in the future, unknown when that is, but they'll probably redo the Spiro, whether it's at that location or another location, to handle more water.
Okay. We don't know if Spiro's big enough to handle
correct.
Everything.
And yeah, that's probably 5 to 10 years down the road, I would assume.
All right. Let's see. Lots of activity on Park Avenue, especially with the new sidewalks there, kind of the Dan Stajans that we were calling it.
Right. Yeah. The 224 project is going forward. It's very difficult. They're replacing, putting in a new water line and doing some utility work. And there's just, you know, when you dig under anything in town, you find new things. And so it's been a slow go. But they're, I think, through the hardest part, which is the intersection there of Kearns and 224. So they're through that. So hopefully it'll speed up as they go towards up south, up towards Coles.
Yeah. You find any tailings, given that that's, we used to use that wonderful tailing sandy soil
back in the day
to build streets.
Yeah, I know. You know, Jim Blankenau would probably be better to answer that question. I know that they test everything they dig around here, so.
Yeah. So given that we've got the right lane closed during construction, is that going to be wrapped up before Arts Fest?
It won't be wrapped up, the project, but basically the crew shuts down at about 1 o'clock on Fridays. So they're out of there pretty early on Friday so that the two lanes are open for the weekend.
All right. We saw a lot of work on Upper Marsac Avenue, but you're saying that's going to hold off now again till after the tour?
Yeah, UDOT had originally wanted to start this week, and they decided it would probably be in everybody's best interest to wait until after the tour of Utah. So they will start that project on August 10th, that Monday right after the tour, and that's the rotomilling from basically the roundabout all the way up to the seasonal gate.
Yeah, so is the road in good enough shape for the racers to come down?
That's a great question. I think I'll probably take a ride maybe with Heinrich and some other bike enthusiasts and make sure that it's in good shape, because as you know, they kind of go a lot faster than any car would go down that hill. So,
yeah. Okay, and then a number of private projects going on. Of course, the Main Street Mall, as we used to know it, now the Parkite, they're
correct.
Just about done?
It is, yeah. They're hoping to wrap up mid to late August. So a lot of the difficult parts of the project are done. The tunnel is now finished, that where they have the access to the parking garage, which is exciting. And pretty much mostly exterior work right now. They're just really working on interior finishes.
All right, and the project at the top of the street, 205 Main Street, causing a lot of congestion at one point, just with the crane and such. That's
pretty much done. You know, it shouldn't. There, you know, and you never know. I shouldn't say shouldn't ever, because it happens with construction. But there should be minimal impacts to Main Street at this time.
All right, and again, they kind of pull off construction so that Arts Festival can happen?
Pretty much everybody in the building department takes care of that. Pretty much everybody shuts down that would have impacts to the Arts Festival and the Tour of Utah, those 2 weekends.
All right, and then also we've got the renovation to the Imperial Hotel. This is purchased to provide a special project for Riverhorse?
It is, yeah. Seth and his partner bought that piece, and I did chat with them, and it's pretty exciting what they're going to do. It's going to be catering for them, the bottom floor, and I think they're going to do some cooking classes. They're going to keep the upper floors as a condo unit, and then there's like a second floor that they'll have. I believe they're going to set it up as like a private dining area.
Okay. And then at 632 Main Street, where's this located?
That's Silver Queen.
Okay, because that was certainly one of my questions. I mean, this has been, what, 3 years now?
At least.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So is it something to actually move in ahead on?
Yeah, actually, they submitted plans to the building department, and they were approved to make the ground floor restaurant capable. They don't have anyone at this point to lease that space, I don't believe, but they are going to make it so someone can put a restaurant in there. And I was actually walked through that project last week, and most of the rooms are very close to complete on the upper floors.
Furnished, you mean? Or, I mean, just...
finishes, yeah. Everything, yeah. Counters, countertops, painted, etc., flooring. So there's the majority of the project is complete, but again, they... the bottom floor, obviously, they need to finish that, you know, to gain access before.
All right, and then further down the street, 820 Park Avenue, this is. What have we
right.
got going there?
Yeah, that's the Rio Grande project, Rory's project. That's going really well. They hope to, I believe, still be open for this winter. Mid-November is their plan. There were some traffic impacts the last couple of weeks. They're doing some utility lateral work across Park Avenue. I believe that work is now done, so you shouldn't have those impacts anymore.
All right. And then also there at the Marriott Summit Watch, the public plaza was being redone. That's finished?
Yes, that is finished. That one is finished. I know the Sweeney deck is not, and they obviously, you know, the hope was to have that done by now, and it wasn't. I'm unsure on the timeline on that one.
Okay, a lot going on. Anything else?
I think that should cover it.
Okay. Hey, Craig, thanks for coming
in. Thanks, Leslie.
KPCW News Time now, 8:42. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour here on KPCW. Well, the Park City Sunrise Rotary Club initiating a new event this year in conjunction with the Summit County Fair. In the studio to tell us about it, I have Ray Freer and Connie Nelson, both with the Sunrise Rotary Club. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Leslie.
Who wants to start? Connie, just tell us what's happening?
Sure. Park City Sunrise Rotary Club is starting an inaugural Tour to Sunrise, fun ride walk, and we're in conjunction with the Summit County Fair. And we're really excited about it, and we've got a lot of support. Seems like there's a lot of interest. And it's Saturday, August 8th. And it starts at 10 a.m., and it's going to be so fun because we're actually going to lead the parade. And the parade is a big part of the county fair. And so the cyclists and walkers will lead the parade down the main street of Colville from 10 a.m., and then we'll turn on 200 and go on to the historic rail trail. And bikers can go 4 miles to the turnaround right along the beautiful Echo Reservoir. And we're so excited because We have so much support from Wasatch Bagel, Switchback Sports, Kadena & Company, Burger King, Jeremy Ranch Golf Club. And they are each sponsoring a station. So as the riders or walkers go through the four-mile walk ride, there's going to be prizes at each station. There's going to be food. There's going to be all sorts of fun. So it's not a serious ride, but it'll be a fun ride. And we want everyone to participate and enjoy it and get some exercise. And then in addition to that, as we're coming back at 12 p.m. or 12 noon, the actual tour is going by, and that's the stage six. So we'll be able to see that, but we'll be on the rail trail. They'll be on the road, and then we'll end at the fair. And there's free lunch for everybody, and then we'll have a raffle. We'll have a opportunity drawing for the $1,600 29-inch mountain bike by BMC, sponsored by Bikes for Kids. So you don't have to be present to win the mountain bike, but you do have to register on summitcountyfair.org, and it's $10 for individuals and $25 for families. So we're keeping it really reasonable, and all funds will go toward our grants program. So that's for community folks all throughout Park City.
Okay, so Ray, when and where are people meeting then to do this?
People will park near the fairgrounds, and we'll go down to where the parade actually starts. It's on Main Street, and it should be a truly a giggle. That's no question about that.
And you welcome to turn around anywhere you want, right? I mean, especially
absolutely.
For walkers, I guess.
Absolutely. It's a walk as well as ride, and you walk as far as you feel comfortable doing so and then turn around and go back. But there will be, at these various stations, drawings and things of that ilk that will be a lot of fun for the people who are participating.
All right. Once you return then from Echo. I mean, is it uphill or does it?
No,
I mean, is it
it's
there. It's pretty flat.
Yeah, it goes right along the reservoir, and that's what we're so excited about. Is a lot of folks don't realize that Rails Trail is actually there and how beautiful it is. I mean, it goes for miles, and they've really worked on this. As Summit County has put in a fabulous opportunity for everyone to go out there. So that's another one of our goals, is to get folks out to the east side and just see how pretty that is, and to support the fair. And Travis English has been fabulous working with him.
All right. And then the tour is coming down where? I mean, just a county road there?
Correct. Right along the side of the Echo Reservoir.
Okay.
So it's just so many things happening at once, and everybody's going to get a prize, and we have a swag for everybody. So just get the families out and enjoy.
So once you get back to the fairgrounds, is there going to be a bike valet or anything where people can kind of check their bikes and leave them so they can go to the fair?
Correct. We will have a place for bikes. We actually have Rotary Interact kids from Colville helping out. So they'll be participating in looking after the bikes. And then folks can go and enjoy the fair. And I, for one, have never been to the fair, so this is going to be a good opportunity to get out there and see what it's all about.
You've been missing out, Connie.
I know.
Ray, why did Sunrise Rotary take this on?
Sunrise Rotary, well, first of all, this is a brainchild of Connie's. It's an effort to bridge the gap between east and west side of the county. It's also a promotional thing in the sense that we hope to build it and generate additional funding for our various not-for-profits that we sponsor, 501c3 corps. And it's just a general effort to increase camaraderie among all the people here in Summit County.
Okay. Anything else you think people should know about it?
SummitCountyFair.org. Register now. You don't have to be present to win that bike, and it's worth $1,600. So please register and come support Summit County Fair and enjoy the day.
Yeah.
There is one other thing that I'd like to say, and that is Black Bottom Bikes for Kids is also providing volunteers. Interact is providing volunteers, as well as the Park City Sunrise Rotary.
Great. And again, a full day of fair fun. I mean, of course, we've got the entertainment tent, we've got the carnival there, a petting zoo, we've got the livestock sale, children's balloon pinata fiesta, and of course, the rodeo later that night and fireworks.
There is one other thing. Adults are not welcome in the water fight.
All right. Hey, Ray Fear and Connie Nelson, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
8:52 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour here on KPCW. Well, as part of the St. Regis Big Stars Bright Night Concerts Thursday night, Perla Battaglia, one of three acts performing, she joins me now on the phone. Good morning, Perla.
Good morning.
So the trio consisting of yourself, Esperanza Spalding, and Anna Wilson, where will you be in that lineup?
I will be just before Esperanza.
Okay, so it'll start with Anna, then you, and then Esperanza?
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so have you played with either of those before?
Yes, actually. Last year I did a concert with Esperanza in Santa Monica at the Broad Stage. And it was just a thrill to be on the same stage with her. Phenomenal artist.
So the way that's working Thursday, I think, though, you'll all be doing separate acts, or do you plan to...
Yes, no, that's what I mean. We're doing separate.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why does this make a good pairing of talent, do you think?
Well, for Esperanza, who I've worked with before, she's very open to new ideas and very likely to try something new, like on the spot. So I love that kind of approach to live performing. You know, whatever happens, happens. Things that are different are welcome, and it's pretty exciting to be there.
All right. So you've certainly performed at the Eccles Center. This is, I think, your first outdoor concert here in Park City.
Yes.
So tell people what they can expect to hear.
Well, I decide on the spot, but I'm kind of looking forward to singing a little Leonard Cohen, which is my latest obsession. I just love singing Leonard Cohen. It's not my latest obsession. I've been obsessed with Leonard for about 20 years now. But a little bit of that, some of the songs that I've written, and, you know, to work with Tom Prasada Rao, who's coming with me. It's just going to be an extreme pleasure for me.
So do you have a band or just the one other?
Just Tom, yeah.
Okay.
Which isn't just Tom. He's phenomenal.
So what does Tom do for you?
He's a guitarist, but he's got his own actual career as a songwriter, performer, and he's a traveling troubadour. He's all over the place, constantly producing records or writing songs or, you know, giving seminars. He's in songwriting, and he's just a lovely man. Great singer, too.
Great. So is this part of a tour lineup for you, or is this kind of just a one-time deal?
This will actually be the last date in my season. I've had a pretty busy year, so this is the last date, and then I take a little break.
Okay. Well, again, you and Esperanza Spalding, Anna Wilson, all performing this Thursday night at the Big Stars Bright Night Concerts. Tickets are available online. Or you can contact the box office at 435-655-3114. And I think tickets just start at $40 there for the grass seats. Looking forward to you. And we'll see you Thursday.
Thank you so much. See you Thursday. Bye.
We're going to go out with a song here, one of Perla's songs, Bird on the Wire.
Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. Like a worm on a hook, like a knight from some old-fashioned book, I have saved all my ribbons for thee. And
and just let it go by. And if I, if I've been untrue, I hope you know it was never to you. Like a baby stillborn, like a beast with his horn, I have torn everyone who reached out for me.
Morning News and the Local News Hour with Leslie Thatcher is provided by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Assemble Park City, Deer Valley Resort, and Promontory and the Promontory Foundation.